Hi, good evening. You can wave to my wife wherever she is. I don't know. She's here somewhere. Debbie is. Oh, there she is. Isn't she wonderful? Okay. All right. We're here tonight to honor a special friend of mine and a lot of yours. And that's a young man called William Lamell Simmons. He went home to be with the Lord last year, and for some reason or other, which is hard to express, we didn't even know it. But anyways, he was a really great guy, and he actually attended Greater Grace Christian School. My wife taught him when he was in first grade, and many of you teachers taught Lamell while he was in school, and he attended the Annex also. We used to have a special high school for kids, and Pastor TJ spent a lot of time with him over there. It was a really great thing. And then he spent a year in military school. He was a pretty energetic, strong young man, and he set a push-up record. He did 225 push-ups. I used to call him the machine, by the way. I used to call him the machine. He worked for me for a while, and he could work all day, and we would say maybe three words to each other. And I would go home, and I'd say to Debbie, we were together all day, we said three words. And she was like, why? I said, oh, it was great, man. We just worked all day. It was no complaining. We came in, it was just, we went home, and we both did our jobs, and it was great. And but he was a pleasure to be around in work. He went through some things. In Ecclesiastes 4, it says this. It says, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. It almost sounds like Solomon's trying to say, oh, it'd be better if you weren't born. There's so much trouble in this world. You know, he was down. But, you know, there's oppression in our city. It's not easy for sometimes for kids. They can get in trouble, and there's it's not easy to make a living. There's this thing called poverty. I think there's a demon called poverty. Boy, someday I'm going to just kick him in the teeth real hard. But in the meantime, you know, it's there, and there's drug abuse, and there's crime, and our city can be a tough place for many, many people who live here, the kids. And it's like, I'm thankful for what our brother Ray is doing with the homeless and the whole homeless outreach that we have and everything he's doing, because it's a beautiful ministry, and it's a hand, and there is a comforter. There is a comforter. It seems like there's no comforter at times. You know, you can be out there by yourself and you say, where is the comforter? I don't feel him. Where is he? And there is a comforter. Jesus Christ is there with us. You know, in Luke 16, Lazarus was laid at the rich man's gate. And the rich man fared sumptuously, and Lazarus was a beggar, and the dogs licked his sores, and it's this horrible thing, and oh, the rich man walked by him every day. Yeah, that's your problem. And then what happened? They both died. And Lazarus went to be with Abraham. Guess what? The angels took him there, the Bible says. And he was comforted, the Bible says. And the rich man didn't go there. And it's funny how, you know, God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. You know, you can look at somebody's life and wonder, like, what is the big thing they accomplished? But it's like a lot of times people accomplish things by just little things, and they might not have victories that we consider great. But on the other hand, they're winning in other areas, and one of the areas Mel won in was his wife. Mel was very faithful, and he met his wife while he was homeless, and then when he finally got a place, he married her. And what happened was his wife ended up in a nursing home, and Pastor Justin Schaller took a group there and did outreach, and they sang songs, and he preached, and his wife got saved there. It was really amazing. Yeah, it was crazy. But it's just that's what God did for him. It's like God would answer prayers for Mel a lot. He was just like that. And he does that for us. But just thinking about it, it's like we can't control whether we win every fight. You know, we might not win the fight against poverty or whatever it is, but Paul said, I have fought the good fight and is laid up for me a crown. It's like, or, you know, it doesn't matter if we win or we don't, we can't decide whether or not we win, but we can fight and we can fight right. And when we fight right and we put ourselves in, then we'll be promoted. You know, there's a blessing at the end. There's an answer to prayer. You know, we're delivered from whatever it is. You know, we may not win in everybody's eyes, but when it's all said and done, we win because we fought right. We fought with our faith. We trusted God. We walked through things. You know, if we come out not smelling like smoke or we don't, it doesn't matter. They said to the king, the three Hebrew boys, they said, we don't care. We're going in. You know, and it's like, it's not so important whether we win as much as how we fight and that we stay in the fight. And I'll just tell you a story about Mel. We were doing a job one day. We built additions and stuff, and we built this addition, and we put a gutter on it and a downspout, and it was brand new. Everything was beautiful, shiny, wonderful. And we came back the next week, and this bird had built a nest under the downspout, and it was like a big mess all over the siding. It was terrible. So I said to Mel, take that down, you know, clean the siding, you know, we got to clean it up. You know, and he was like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah, you got to do it. So he took the nest down and cleaned up the whole thing and looked great. And we're working. And it was like there's a door and there was a pathway like this, like on the stage. And Mel was walking up to the door. And this little sparrow came. And honest to God, it landed right there. And it looked up at me and it went beep, 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 beep. And he was like, what the? And the bird was like, beep, 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 beep. He was like shouting at him. Like, honestly, it was the strangest thing you ever saw. And Mel was like, what do I do? What did I do? Steve, what did you make me do? This bird's all mad at me. You know, like, you know, and I was like, Mel, you know, we had to do it. You know, it's like, you know, what are we going to do with this? But I never saw a little bird just like walked right. It was like, it didn't even fly up to him. It just like, it went like, boop, 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 boop. Like, and, you know, it was funny. But, you know, it's like, I thought about it. And that's like, kind of like sometimes the way, you know, we can all be with God sometimes, you know. Something happens and we go into the throne room and we're like, beep, 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 you know. And it's like, we're not winning, you know, everything's going wrong. And it's like, you know, and God's like, you know, listen, little birdie, go to the trees, sing and build another nest and don't quit, you know. It's like, but that's the way it is. I mean, we don't always understand the plan. It's like, you know, we can't quit, though, you know, and God bless Mel. He didn't quit. He was a loyal friend. He was the kind of guy who would stick close to you. You know, if you were on the street and you were by yourself and Mel was with you, you weren't worried. It was just like that. But, you know, it's we're thankful for his life and for his grandmother and mom Flo and his aunt Wanda. His brother Darren's here. And his aunt Cynthia and Jasmine, his cousin, is here, and Ricaria. And they're just a wonderful family. We love them so much. So we're just thankful for LaMel. And I'm thankful for you guys, for this church, for the way we preach, for the victory that we have, that we don't have to back down in a fight, that we never give up. We do what we can do. We preach the gospel. People are getting saved. And it doesn't matter. Someday, it's like we're going to just, you know, our angels are bigger than that angel for sure. You know, that little demon down in Baltimore is going out someday. You know, and I'll be happy when that happens. But in the meantime, it's like people are getting saved. People can get delivered. They can get healed. They can be comforted, and we can overcome. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wednesday night, I was sitting here, and I gave a short introduction in the beginning, and just felt absence of the Spirit. You know, I didn't feel the anointing. You know, that was Wednesday night. I spoke for a few minutes in the beginning, and I didn't sense it. So when I sat down over here, I said to Pastor Steve, I don't know. I have a message, but I don't have the liberty. I don't have the if God doesn't give the message, you know. And I said, just have the church pray. So we prayed. And then when I came back up here, it was here. Really. Holy Spirit was with me. That was amazing. I say that to say that I know you people, you folks are serious with God. I love it. And we are. And if we are hungry, he will. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, they shall be filled. Isn't that beautiful? And I just believe that about all that Pastor Steve just shared about this young man here in Baltimore. And the pain in the light in the family. And to think about losing a child. And then, and Pastor Steve, that was an awesome word. And our prayer for Baltimore, you know, the poverty, the hard life of temptation, the weakness that we have as people, the need to be loved, the need for somebody to help me read my Bible, help me find Christ in the Bible. Because I know that it is possible we could read the Bible, but then, it's not coming. It's not hitting me. I'm not getting it. So this is our prayer, and our message tonight is along these lines. So I want you to, first of all, let's put up on the screen. Well, let's have, first of all, a prayer. Would you pray with your neighbor for a moment and just say with your neighbor, whatever, you know, just a prayer of faith with your neighbor. Lord, we thank you for the church in Silver Spring and the faithful Shibley family. They, every member of that family is involved in blessing us. Emma, her singing, Abigail in the cafe, Kim Shibley Jr. teaching, Hannah in California, walking with you. Thank you for Casey, Pastor Shibley, their hearts, their faith. For Pastor Minicello, Lord, for many here, Pastor Colban, Pastor Taggart, Pastor Butch Vieta, the many portions, Lord, the singers, the musicians, the Bednes family, the Hadley family, Craig and Gavin, Lord, Bertrand and Noel, thank you. There are many. Thank you, Father. These are your servants, for Neil and Maggie Lockhart, for Diane. Thank you, Lord, for the ushers, for the outreach, for Jerry Roberge and Carrie and their family, for the Wilczek family. Thank you, Lord. Many, many thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, minister to us, Lord. Amen. Amen. The Bible College students. We have three brothers here from Sweden, right? Sweden. And do you want to just stand for a second? Okay, these brothers came over. thank you. They came over to go to Bible college. Isn't that great? Whoa. Man, amazing, amazing. Yes, awesome. Up on the screen, oh, we don't, here it's coming. We have our end times diagram, I think. Oh, okay, there we go. And this morning, we had a message this morning explaining in simple terms this diagram, which we're going to, in the coming weeks, go over these different periods and how they are characterized and biblical perspective for each one of them. And we today spoke about this period, the church age being the end days. The Israel has the end days start here. They start here. These are the end days, the tribulation period for Israel. But for the church, the end days is here before the rapture. So this could be this line as we leave in the rapture. That'll be our message coming Sunday morning on the rapture. And now we're talking about this period that we are in. We said three things this morning. Israel returning and becoming a nation and increasing in their population, being stable there as a nation, recognized legally back in the country, and the Jews going to Israel, and that being a sign of the end times, because the Antichrist will need the temple, then he goes in and makes himself as God, and that will be the Jewish temple in Daniel 9:24-27. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Then we spoke a little bit about globalism. This is a sign of the period that we are in, the global connections and also money. Money becoming a issue in regards to the economies of the world being not local but global. The Chinese, the Japanese, the European, and here. And these connections and buying and selling. The global mentality of essentially knowledge increasing. And connected with that is a moral fall, a degradation, a moving away from moral laws that we are familiar with as Christians and Jews. We have a religion coming in the East. This is in the Middle East, and this is Islam, and Islam growing in its influence and its power. And in the West, we have philosophy that is attacking Christianity. We have a culture that is against the Christian view, believing in God, trusting in God, obeying God, knowing God, and that they say, in effect, anything but that. You can believe in whatever you would like to, but do not have this moral orientation that we have had for centuries, but instead you can decide for yourself what it is that you believe in and what you embrace. And of course, we see that moving very strongly in the world of today. We see it in our university campuses. We see it in movies and TV shows. We see it in the general character of Hollywood. We see it in school and education and transgender and identity questions about male and female and so on. There are people that believe, theologians that believe, that before we are raptured, there will be a great falling away in the church. And this is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So, turn there with me, please, to verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. This is the key word for us. Is it 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3? If we can put it up there. Let no man deceive you by any means. Okay. I read this. Mark Hitchcock wrote a book called The Great Apostasy. If you want to read more about what we're talking about here tonight, you can pick that book up at the Christian bookstore. The Great Apostasy by Mark Hitchcock. And he makes a lot of references to this era that we are living in. And he told about a Spanish airline that the professional commercial airline and the system of the plane said, pull up to the pilot. You know, pull up, raise your elevation, pull up. And the pilot said, shut up, gringo, he said to the machine. A minute later, the plane slammed into a mountain and killed everyone on board the plane. We could say, and that was discovered in the black box that they retrieved. We could say it's easy to be deceived. It's part of our life as people that we believe we know, but we could actually be wrong. I think all of us are afraid of that. I don't want to be deceived. How can I tell, and how can I live according to what God has given us here? He is saying over and over, I will lead you, I will show you, I will guide you, but you can't trust in your feelings, in your way, your speculations, or your mindset. And I believe that is at the very heart of our spiritual life. Trust in Him with all your heart. Proverbs 3:5. Romans 12:2, we are promised by God that He would renew our mind, that we would kind of get it right. Not all the time, not always, not in every way, not 100%. But that's not the point. The point is that we can be spirit-taught and spirit-led. Turn to, did we get to verse 3? Let no man deceive you that that day shall not come except there come a falling away. This falling away is apostasy or a departure from apostolic teaching. And excuse me. Charles Ryrie says, it is as though the infidelity of those who profess to be religious will prepare the way and perhaps even furnish the occasion for the final display of revolting against God in the person of the Son of Man. But the day of the Lord will not be present until this great apostasy sweeps the earth, as those who profess to know the truth turn wholesale from it. They shall embrace the ultimate lie, worshiping man as God. John Wolford says, the increment of evil, the growth of hypocrisy, selfishness and unbelief within the bounds of professing Christendom are, according to Scripture, signs of the approaching end of the age. Though there are thousands of faithful congregations, many pious souls still bearing a faithful testimony to Christ, it is hardly true that the majority of Christendom is bearing a true testimony. It is the exception rather than the rule for the great fundamentals of the church to ring from the pulpit and for the pew to manifest the transforming grace of God in life and sacrificial devotion. You know, one of the things that I never hear about is denying ourselves. Turn with me to Hebrews 7, please, and make a note of this, please. Hebrews 7, verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. This is Melchizedek the priest. His name is king of righteousness, after king of peace. Which comes first? First being by king of righteousness. Which comes first? Righteousness. He is a king of righteousness. After that, he's called king of peace. In the world we live in, the first thing that comes is love. They say love. That's the important thing, love. But the scripture says it's love with hypocrisy. It's not real love. When a man says, I love another man, it's Romans 1, 26 to 32. 1 Timothy 1, 8 to 10. It's 1 Corinthians 6, 10. It's described there. It's Sodom in Genesis 19. It's Leviticus 18, 20, 22. It's an abomination. But I love the man saying, I love the man. But go back to the previous one. Abraham gave a tenth part of all to Melchizedek, and he was being by interpretation king of righteousness first. It's first righteousness. When Jesus came, it was first righteousness. Righteousness in his mind, in his heart, in God. God is a righteous God. Righteousness comes first. Then there is love. There is peace. But there isn't love without righteousness. There isn't peace without righteousness. So this is where we don't have the means, we don't have the power, we don't have the insight or the understanding. When somebody walks with God, this is one of the things. Turn to John 4. What is it that happens when you walk with God? What's the one thing that really happens to you in John chapter 4, verse 21. Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. There's an indicator. You worship, but you're worshiping. You don't know what you are worshiping, but you are worshiping, but you don't know what. You go to the temple, but you don't know what you're worshiping. It's empty. There are a lot of people praying, but they don't know who they are praying to. There are many people that worship, but what are they worshiping? But here comes the, here comes your life and my life. Here it is, verse 20, 22. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus, you are offending that woman. Jesus, you are offending that woman. Why do you think you are the only, or don't you know she has feelings? That you're telling her she doesn't know what she worships, and that actually the true worship is with the Jews? And then he goes to 23. He says, but the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. What is the thing? You know what happens when you get... We are not reading only the Psalms in our Bible. We are reading 2 Chronicles and Deuteronomy, and we're reading Esther and the book of Job. We are all over this book. We are learning the book because God is speaking. And what did he say? The true worshipers worship in spirit and in what? Truth. That's the problem. If the church loses the truth, we move in apostasy. We move away from the faith. So they don't believe Jesus is virgin born. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They don't believe the Bible is inspired. They don't believe in deliverance from sin. They don't believe in holiness and spiritual life. They don't believe in prayer the way you do. When you pray, you believe God and God answers our prayer. They don't. They are apostate. That's what's going on. It's a departure from the faith. Now, then you think of this, it's almost as if this homosexual issue is a watershed issue for the church. And in a way, I'm happy that it has surfaced, because now we see how wrong churches are. How wrong they are. When the Anglican denomination goes into that, the Presbyterians go to ordain homosexual men and women and so on. It's like, are you kidding? That's not even close biblically. Why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Why is it written three times very clearly in our New Testament? Okay, I want you to think about this. There is an amazing need for people to understand what God is saying. Not what the world is saying, what God is saying. The true worshipers worship him in spirit and truth. That means the Holy Spirit enlightens the mind, Psalm 119, 133. It means 131. It means that Jesus said it, and this is how we make it. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. In verse 18. This is to a pastor, Timothy. He's the pastor. And verse 18, it's amazing that we have to start Bible colleges up out of our churches. It's actually not amazing. It's beautiful. But we have to start our own Bible colleges up out of our churches. Guys, where is the seminary where I can send a disciple who wants to learn about God, Where is the seminary that we can send him where he can learn about God as a worshiper? And he can learn about serving God with all his heart and learn about living by faith and learn about meditating on this book and learn about how to live and how to guide others in a profitable life with knowledge and truth, right? It was always funny to me. Pastor Stevens, you mean we have to start our own Bible college? Aren't there others? We don't know what they are. Do they believe in the virgin birth? What compromises do they make? Do they believe in this book? Are they on their knees in humility? Are they seeking God with all their heart? Or is it happened historically that after a time, the wrong teachers are in the school? That there is arrogance that comes from within our own heart. And now we are open to something that is strange. It's written here, 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. A shipwreck. I met believers that are shipwrecked. And how does it happen? Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander? He gave two names. You contact Hymenaeus and Alexander and you sit down with coffee for them for an hour or two and your faith may be shipwrecked. So we have a picture here. Pastor Steve found one. Is it there? Oops. It disappeared, Pastor. What? I don't know why I did that. Okay, there it is. Maybe remember that. Off the coast of Italy. Yeah, the cruise ship. Were any of you on that cruise ship? Shipwrecks. Wow. Yeah, just there's a reef. You didn't see the reef. You didn't realize it. It's crazy. The people you could listen to, the books that you could read, the people that you could be part of at work or in your community, your best friends, relatives, I don't know. Hymenaeus and Alexander were two names. These guys are bad news. They will shipwreck your faith. Shipwreck your faith. Wow, how could that happen? I thought God was with me. He is. He is. It shouldn't happen. Your ship should go from point A to point B through your whole life. And your faith should grow from faith to faith with the knowledge where the Spirit is saying to you in your heart, I know about this. I don't know everything, but I got a sense about it. This is the way. I'm going this way. You know, these people that the man falls in love with a man, it's like, okay, you have some feelings or something? Deny them. Deny them. What do you think? Here's a man. He's heterosexual, right? He falls in love with another woman. What do you do? Oh. Deny it. Deny it. Who are you anyway? Do you have any idea that this is serious, that God is in heaven? And let our words be few on the earth, And take care of your feet when you go into the house of God in Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be spirit-filled, right? So I love saying what I just said. I want to say it again. Here's a couple thoughts. That people shift from the book to some of these things that are said. My parents taught me this. Well, what does God teach you? That's a good point, isn't it? Well, my friends say, well, fine. What your friends say? What does God say? A famous Christian said, a pastor said, it feels right. It's what I've always believed deep down inside. It gives me comfort to believe this. It makes me happy. It seems more inclusive. I can't imagine God doing otherwise, sending people to hell. I seriously studied it, or I found it in the Bible. This age we're living in is a time when people are shifting, and it's happening large numbers. Let's see if I have a quote here. The river of apostasy is rising today. The perilous times of which Paul wrote are upon us. Soon the river will overflow its banks as all the tributaries of delusion and deception join the mainstream. Let's go back to this for a second. Do you know what is happening here? In the church age, there is the deception that happens. And you know what happens here with Israel? They are deceived by the Antichrist. And they believe he's a great guy and the answer for their trouble. Then reality hits. They are murdered and persecuted. Then we have Christ returning. And you know what happens at the end of the millennium? Another falling away. Another time of deception, where the nations will rise up against Christ at the very end. And Christ will put it down. It seems that deception is just a common thing with us as people. Eve was deceived in the Garden of Eden, wasn't she? The man of the period of time when the Apostle Paul was here, they didn't believe he was an apostle. They said that he's a false apostle. They were deceived. At the end of the church age, this whole thing about truth is brought into question. But we are saying it's okay when it reaches flood level that our sisters and brothers could be shipwrecked by some teacher, teachings, the world's influence. But if you and I, and this is possible, all the days of our life, trust God. He will fill us. He will lead us. He will guide us. If we love each other in truth, if we say to God, make it clear to me, enlighten my mind so that I can discern and recognize when this thing is wrong, and I know that I just know it's wrong. I don't care if the whole world is against me. I got to know from you, God, and in the body of Christ, we would know and bear witness. It says, some think we can look for a worldwide spiritual awakening before the rapture, but this passage in 2 Thessalonians indicates the opposite. A worldwide departure from the faith can be expected. God might indeed send a revival before he calls home the church, but the scriptures do not prophesy one. I believe it can happen at any time, all the time, with people that seek God. But a worldwide revival, we don't know. I mean, this is his opinion. I don't know. I would love that to happen, but we don't know. Rather, the Bible is saying, I mean, this is sure, that there will be a falling away from the apostolic faith. Okay? So that's it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we are thankful for our Bible college here and for the many people that pray and trust you. Resist temptation by saying, I deny myself by through Christ. I will not yield to that temptation. I will deny my rights to my own life and find you. And then worship you in spirit and truth. And the truth will set us free and will be free indeed. An increase in the knowledge of who you are. Yes, Lord. That's why we gather here all the time. This is why we are here in the ministry. This is why we are looking for you in the spirit. This is what we recognize in our presence, your spirit here, teaching us and leading us. And regardless of what the voices are in this world, we want to embrace and finish our course with joy. Maybe we have many years ahead of us, but may they all be filled with your understanding, your wisdom, filled with your conviction, that we would personally embrace you and have personal convictions in our hearts that are not from the world, but are from you. And they go to our families, and they go to our friends, and they're in our hearts, and we share it, and we recognize when there's something that smells bad. There's a reef right underneath us that'll rip the bottom out of our ship, and we stay away. We are not going to be shipwrecked. We're going to sail and make it and go and not abandon the ship, but see the ship go. That's what we want. And that's what's happening, Lord, through these years. Thank you. If you're here, you don't have Jesus tonight. Tonight is the night to know Jesus. Tonight is the night to say to Jesus, I need you. Tonight is the night to say, Jesus, I trust in you, and I need you. Save me, and he will. You are saved by his grace. You are forgiven by his grace. Your name is in the book by the grace of God. You are born of the Spirit by the grace of God. The Father has called you. The Son has saved you. The Spirit has sealed you. You are God's child. Now just start to walk by faith in him. Talk to him. He will answer you. And you are a worshiper in spirit and in truth. Read your Bible. Dig into the Bible, listen to the Bible, grow in your faith, and be deeply encouraged. Don't be foolish and be shipwrecked, but be wise and discerning in your name. Amen.